Well, welcome everyone. This is a day that some of us thought would never come, as the opening kept being pushed back week by week by week. Here we are, and some of you probably know, some of you don't know, that back in 1968, Barbara Moore and I were volunteers at the Potter's House, and it was a very different place then, but with the same spirit that is going to continue, so glad you're here. So we are finally here in this beautiful renovated space, and it is the work of many people's hopes, dreams, yearnings, and connections to the past through a rich history of commitment and rootedness in this neighborhood and city. This also is the work over the past 2+ years of many people who've shown up at visioning and focus groups and circle gatherings and have served as consultants and advisors and mentors and funders, and certainly includes the ASA-based community. And it's also the persistent and very faithful work of several young people, Tim and Brennan, but also Emily Owsley, who's responsible for many of the beautiful artistic touches that are here. And I know she's been part of that team big time, so we thank them all. And it is obvious that this group of young people have really gotten hold of a dream of what the Potter's House could be in the here and the now. And they really held sacred the past 50+ years of the Potter's House and its rich and committed life in this neighborhood and city. And for our community, this is the place that we have chosen to call our home and from which we choose to minister. So what does this ministry look like? I have pondered this question as 8th Day took over the ownership of this property, which includes Columbia Road Health Services. Ownership was a huge decision for 8th Day. We never wanted to own any property. So it was a momentous step for us to agree to assume ownership and to support the folks in the newly formed Potter's House project team to lay a foundation for the renovation and for the new mission. And it was not always easy. As I said to Karen yesterday, there certainly were tears. A lot of processing of feelings, positive and negative, but ultimately humility and ability to admit that some of us really needed to learn and really needed to listen more. In the spring of 2014, the Potter's House team ended its life and the board assumed responsibility for the ownership of the Potter's House. The board is a multi-generational, multiracial, and gifted group of people wise in the ways of participatory leadership. And we really need to bless them and support them as they continue to move into the next stage, which is going to be the really, really hard work. This morning, I want to reflect on two stories from Scripture that I think help us as a community to mirror and to link our lives to the larger story of our faith journey. The two stories come from the 10th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. We are all very familiar with the story of the Good Samaritan. Here is a religious scholar, priest, who asked Jesus how to attain eternal life. Jesus throws the question back at the scholar. And the scholar answers, love God and love neighbor. This is from Deuteronomy and Leviticus. You are right, says Jesus, so do this, and it will be life-giving. wanting to justify himself, the scholar then asks for a definition of neighbor. And Jesus tells the story of the Samaritan, the scorned outsider, who sees the traveler beaten, bloody, ignored, and half dead at the side of the road. The Samaritan binds up his wounds, takes him to an inn, pays for his care, and promises to return to settle any debts for care of the wounded man. The real neighbor here, the person of compassion, is the stranger, the outsider, the one who binds up the wounds and makes sure that the wounded man continues to be cared for. He sees the need and responds lavishly without regard to boundaries. This story shows us what loving the other, be it neighbor or stranger, looks like, what radical hospitality looks like, and what Jesus is calling us to do. Luke then moves us immediately to the story of Martha and Mary, who welcome Jesus into their home. Here's the story. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me all the work to do? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." The thread of hospitality and care from the Good Samaritan story plays out in Martha's role. She's concerned with what it takes to clear physical space for the guest, Jesus. For Martha, clearing space is action, welcoming words, preparing food and drink, assuring the comfort of the guest. It is the work of the host, and it is very important and needed work. This work of hospitality is and will be critical for us as a community and for the parishioners. But Jesus responds to Martha's complaint and desire for kitchen help. Luke is now focusing our attention back to the scholar's response to Jesus' question, that you love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and strength, and that you love your neighbor as yourself. Love of neighbor flows from the love of God. They are intimately intertwined. Mary is listening to Jesus, embodying a devotion to God's word as an expression of her love for God. In these two back-to-back stories, we have two characters featured as model disciples. The Samaritan, a marginalized and scorned outsider in the Jewish community. And Mary, a marginalized woman who is sitting as a disciple listening to the rabbi Jesus, thereby violating the social boundary. The Samaritan sees the distress and need of the stranger. His actions are Christ-like. Mary listens to Jesus, clearing a place for God's word in her heart. I don't think it's a coincidence that the story of Martha and Mary follows immediately on the parable of the Good Samaritan. Because only if we clear a space for Christ in our hearts will we be able to have the courage to behave as the Samaritan does. Clearing a space for others, the act of hospitality and inclusion, and clearing a space for Christ, for God, are two themes that I want us to hold on to as we begin a new chapter in our life together. In the recent interviews that Kate conducted with community members of Eighth Day, the themes of inclusion and drawing closer to God, the inward journey, surface. hospitality and inclusion are practices and values that I think have grown stronger at 8th Day in recent years. And they are shaping and challenging us. We need to continue to clear space in our communal life for people from diverse communities and cultures. And this includes people from communities that have been less visible among our guests and attendees. We need to embody welcome, respect, sensitivity, invitation, beauty, and safety as we open space for others and grow in love for neighbors and for strangers. Clearing space for Christ, for God, can certainly include our more traditional spiritual practices or disciplines, prayer, meditation, Bible study, reflection, journaling, retreat, silence. But whatever draws you or me closer to God and others can clear space for God. Some of us find creative ways to open ourselves to God's presence. Walking meditation, contemplation in nature, listening to and creating music, drawing and sketching, sitting in circles of silence, and so on. Henry Nouwen, the late beloved author, priest, and spiritual guide, noted, almost anything that helps us slow down and order our times, desires, and thoughts to counteract selfishness, impulsiveness, or hurried fogginess of mind can be a spiritual discipline. He goes on to say that the disciplines or practices of the heart are seeing and imaging God in our heart, looking to God through scripture, our foundational faith story, and being in relationships with people of God who want to witness to God's active presence in the world. These are the cornerstones of the inward journey, the journey that clears space for God. In Luke's gospel, Jesus, despite the constant outpouring of his energy in teaching and preaching and healing, always finds time to withdraw to some lonely place to pray. Then immediately, Luke, after telling the story of Martha and Mary, continues with the passage in which Jesus is teaching his disciples to pray. He says, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom, your reign come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. For if we forgive everyone who wrongs us, then we will be forgiven, and do not put us to the test. Do not put us to the test. Luke seems to have built up a sequence which begins by answering the question, who is my neighbor? And then goes on to remind the listeners and readers, and that is each of us, and us as a community, that unfailing kindness and compassion, even to strangers, is possible only if we keep God in mind, and only if we try to pattern our lives on Jesus. And to accomplish this, we need prayer, listening, and asking God to watch over and guide us. So let us carry these two stories with us into our future. That means clearing space for God daily, like the Good Shepherd and Mary, clearing space for the neighbors, guests, strangers, and for one another, like Martha and the Good Samaritan. Let us pray for God's care for all of us, as we commit to care for one another and for God's creation and for all the people who will come into this space and be part of our lives.